Welcome home. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Yes, I'm wearing my Costas Inn shirt here. We will be at Costas next Tuesday. We're going to be doing live radio for the first time in 10 years all week from 9 until 5 to promote 100 charity and community organizations here. We are calling it Crab Cake Row in lieu of Radio Row. I don't know if you heard or not. Chad Steele will not allow WNST to broadcast from Las Vegas. We're going to broadcast from Dundalk and Lauraville and Timonium and downtown. The party begins on Monday at the new Lexington Market, at the new Fadley Seafood and the new Lexington Market. First time in 150 years, I'm going to have a crab cake and shrimp salad somewhere else. That will begin at 9 a.m. Monday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, who have lottery scratch-offs to give away all week. Win donation, our friends at Jiffy Lube. And here's the cool part. We're doing all of this for the Maryland Food Bank during the coldest week of the year. We're calling it a cup of Super Bowl. I know it's clever. I'm a clever guy. I've been charged with that in the past. You get a free cup or bowl of soup, Maryland crab, cream of crab, at any of our five stops Monday through Friday. Monday, we start the party at Lexington Market at Fadley's. Tuesday, we're at Costas in Dundalk. That's a short drive for me. I like that. Wednesday, we're at Coco's down in Lauraville, where I'm going to be having some coconut shrimp. I assure you of that. And then on Thursday, we're going to be moving over to State Fair in Catonsville, and then Friday at Pappas in Cockeysville. All day, 9 to 5. Bring something for the Maryland Food Bank. We'll give you a cup of soup or bowl. It's a Crab Cake Row. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Win Donation and Jiffy Lube. Luke Jones was in the losing clubhouse after the AFC Championship game. Luke, I'm not going to go inside poker, but I want people to understand what Chad Steele's done to me, to our company, to the fan. You can only be in one place at one time. You're one reporter. You're in the press room. Lots of players move out the back door. I try to explain this to people. If you've never been in a locker room where I've spent 39 years of my life, you did not talk to Zay Flowers, but you did talk to some players. You were there for the Lamar thing. I want to begin this with the whole notion of what that looks like, because I've been in that locker room where Lee Evans is in one corner and Billy Cundiff set the podium in Foxborough. I was also there a year, 52 weeks to the day later, as were you, seeing them in jubilation and hugging the AFC trophy the way Travis Kelce was on Sunday. It's a dark, dark day when you lose a playoff game and you're there as a reporter because you're on the inside.
Yeah, I mean, it's about what you'd expect, Nestor, and for anyone who's listening, I mean, it's certainly different than what the Kansas City locker room was. I can assure you of that, but a couple things. I mean, it clears out quickly. I didn't time it, but John Harbaugh, it did take a long amount of time for him to go to the podium.
It was really long. Sit here and wait for and them on video every
and week. It's been that
But they were waiting through the AFC Championship presentation.
Yeah.
They weren't going to start the presser until that was over, from what I could tell.
Right. So, look, can I sit here and say I have a checklist of what players waited around and what players were gone by the time the podium, you know, by the time the interview room had broken up, which in the interview room, it was Harbaugh, Lamar, and Roquan Smith, which is fairly typical after a loss. You know, you head coach, quarterback, and usually one other notable player. Zay Flowers did talk. You know, there are quotes, albeit brief ones, that the Ravens put out there. And I do know reporters who did not stay for the entire interview room session with the three individuals that I mentioned were in there. But
by the way, it's garbage and we don't have two press pass. I want to let everybody know how garbage it is that we didn't have someone in the locker room and in the press room. It's trash. And if you see Chad Steele, tell him it's trash. On my behalf, I'll be writing him a letter, but it's trash. I just want to point that out. As a guy who's done this my whole life, it's trash.
Sure.
It's garbage.
But
below the bar, as they would say. And John Harbaugh knows that. Eric DaCosta knows that. And Steve Bisciotti knows that.
To illustrate what we're talking about, though, with the disappointment, I think the most glaring example for me that kind of said it all was as Lamar Jackson was speaking, Roquan Smith was sitting in the chair to the side of the podium. You know, if you look at the interview room to Lamar Jackson's left, to our right, there's usually a couple chairs set up for whichever players are going to talk next. And Roquan is just staring into the abyss. I mean, it was a deep, emotionless stare into the abyss. And, I mean, he was fighting back tears as he was talking. You could tell just how disappointed he was. And He's someone who wears his emotions on his sleeve. I think that's become evident in his year and a half as a Baltimore Raven, and we know how important he's become. Not just for the defense, but the entire team. I mean, he's the one who, in recent years, really since I guess Suggs had departed, it had kind of been a by committee, pregame huddle when
well,
they when
Calais
they.
Campbell was the grown-up. That's what he was
But he
important
didn't
to
do
do
it
that.
every week, though, is my point. I mean, it was kind of a rotating cast of veteran players that would offer a few words. But as the 2023 season had progressed, I mean, it's been Roquan doing that. And that's not to say they don't have other leaders on their team, but he's been the Ray Lewis, for lack of a better term. I mean, he's as close as they've had to that figure on the defensive side of the ball. So to see that stare into nothing, that stare into the abyss, so to speak, that kind of told it all. And it's why I said in our previous conversation, why I'm working on it at BaltimorePositive.com, that how do you beat these guys? I mean, again, you look at it, you gave up 17 points, as much as the Ravens. And we can get into some of the play calling and lack of runs and all that, which has certainly been a hot button topic after the game. Gave up 17 points. It felt like it was going to be a shootout early on, but that never manifested. It ended up being much more of a defensive struggle. But I think it for Roquan Smith and this defense, as well as they played after those first two drives. I mean, think back to the strip sack. I mean, the Ravens are down there at that point. Kansas City's on a short field. They get the stop there. I mean, that felt massive at that point in time. And if you tell me from that point on, the Ravens are only going to give up 3 points the rest of the game. Even then, even at that point when they were trailing 17-7, I'm saying they've got a heck of a chance to win this football game. In fact, at that point, I probably would have said they better win this football game if they're going to shut out Patrick Mahomes the rest of the way they did. So, it's not a pointing fingers or scenario or anything like that. But boy, that defense had to be frustrated. I mean, that's just human nature for them to feel that way. So to see Roquan Smith staring off into space the way he was, to see how upset he was. I mean, not to say he was the only one. I mean, there were plenty of upset individuals, but by the time, the rest of the media got into the locker room, other than, Patrick Queen, Beckham, a few other guys, I mean, it cleared out pretty quickly. And that's, look, it's going to clear out pretty quickly. I mean, that's just human nature. I mean, especially guys that no one is really going to want to talk to anyway, role players and backups and whatnot. But very quiet, very somber, very frustrated, very upset, as you would absolutely expect, just like how fans felt exiting what had been such a raucous environment at the stadium downtown. I mean, that's why I said for me, and this is the best I have to go off of, because it previously had been the biggest home game in the history of the franchise. It just felt very 2006 playoff loss to Indy like. I mean, that's really what it felt like to me. And I wasn't in that 2006 locker room. I wasn't in that
I
digging
saw
into the
Ray
pieces,
Lewis
but
sobbing in the trainer's room. They couldn't get Ray to come out and talk to the media because he couldn't clear himself. He couldn't compose himself to come out. And that was very un-Ray-like. I mean, I'll say that. Like, I covered every football game Ray Lewis ever played in. I was thinking about that when he's out there with Reed, Suggs, all that. I'm like, I heard Ray Lewis's voice, and I'm like, been a little while since I've heard, Ray talk. He was on the field before the game, on the pregame show, and I thought there were Ray always stood up. Ray always stood, famously after the Foxborough loss, famously after the Billy Cundiff game. I remember being there. The video's still up at YouTube of me holding the little Canon camera I had back in, 13, 14 years ago, and him saying, go out and do something good for the world. And I honestly was inspired by that. It's one of the reasons I'm doing Crab Cake Row. Like, literally, I hear his voice. I remember what he was wearing that day, the whole deal, that he said, go out and do something good for the world. We lost a football game, but there's bigger thing. I didn't hear that coming. Losing the football game's everything to Roquan Smith, and obviously to Lamar, and the reality of this sets in. Luke Jones is here. He'll be in Owings Mills cleaning out lockers. You can obviously find him at Baltimore, Luke. You can find both of us at Baltimore Positive. We're doing this amazing promotion beginning next week for the Maryland Food Bank. We do hope you come out, participate one of the 5 days. Come out, get a crab cake, get some free soup, enjoy yourself, say hello, do something good for somebody else. Go out and do something good for the world. A lot's going to change, and it's going to happen quick here this week. You know, I don't think Munkin's getting a job right away, but he's pretty good. But McDonald might be gone by Thursday, Wednesday, right? Middle of the week. We can talk about the roster and all the other parts, but let's talk about this offense, running the ball, decisions made, and more than that, the game plan and the effectiveness or lack of effectiveness of what the Ravens were trying to do on Sunday. What they were trying to do from the beginning, they didn't get it done.
Yeah, they didn't. And, you know, it's interesting, Nestor. Whenever the season comes to an end, you think back to different discussions that you and I have had and, you know, fans have had. You know, times where things were going well for this football team, which was most of the season after the first month, where they, you know, they got off to a 3-2 start and then really lost one game of consequence the rest of the year. I mean, that's how good it was until Sunday, of course. But, you know, I keep coming back to conversations that you and I had at different points, and frankly, debates, if not healthy, good-natured arguments about this. We talked about the running game a lot at various points over the course of the season, and there were times where you would talk about looking at where this offense was. And again, this was at given different points in time, not just talking at the end of the regular season, but I vividly remember at a few different points you talking about not having the same level of confidence in their ability to run the football. And when I say that, I don't mean Lamar taking off and scrambling, meaning your traditional between the tackles, hand it off to the running back kind of running game. And I would fire back at times and say, well, they're number one in the league, or they're number three in the league, or whatever they were at that moment in time. And there were also some times where I can remember you would talk about the running game, and I would say, well, if you really look at how it played out, the running game kind of was spawned off of what they did with the passing game. And yeah, they didn't run the ball a whole lot in the first half, and then they'd run it in the second half. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is, yes, they finished first in the league in rushing, and you look at all their efficiency numbers and all that, it looked great on paper statistically. But there were definitely times over the course of the year where they didn't do it as effectively as they had in the previous Greg Roman offenses. And there were definitely times where they didn't do it as frequently as they did under Greg Roman. And what's so ironic, I mean, even this past week, you know, Todd Monken had a moment at the podium that kind of went viral this week because he was asked about halftime adjustments, and he ended up, you know, it's innocent enough, but made a comment that his wife always tells him that, why don't you just use the plays that work? And he said, you're right, honey, you always are. And that kind of went viral, right? And even then, I had, you know, people on Twitter taking shots at Greg Roman over that, just because that's what, you know, that's what any fan base does. They beat up the guy that got fired, right? It was all his fault. The irony, Sunday, Nestor, they could have used a little more Greg Roman on Sunday. I mean, they absolutely could have. And I think there are a lot of times that we're guilty of looking at the box score and just saying, okay, well, they threw this many times and they ran this many times. And we completely ignore context of 2-minute drives and playing from behind and all those different things. And there are times, I think, where that narrative ends up being overblown. But I do think if you go back and look at this football game, there were a number of times where they could have tried to get into the running game, and they didn't really do it. I mean, look at the final numbers. Gus Edwards had 3 carries. Justice Hill had 3 carries. That's it.
That's unbelievable.
That's it. In a game that
it's unbelievable.
And I understand. I they were down 10 points for most of the second half. I get that. But
10 points is a drive.
Right. Well, but here's the thing. I made mention of this early on when Kansas City went down the field on their first drive and scored. Ravens came back then on their second drive and scored. At that point in time, you were starting to think, okay, maybe this is going to be a higher scoring shootout kind of game. That didn't materialize, though. I mean, after Kansas City scored its second touchdown on its second drive, it was a defensive struggle the rest of the time, rest of the way, right? So it really felt like Monken and John Harbaugh, because ultimately that's, you know, he's the head coach. He's responsible for having a feel for how the football game's going. They just never got into it. And Harbaugh was asked about it after the game, and he gave up, you know, his answer was, it was that kind of a game, I'd say. That's the way it worked out, the way the game went. You know, he'll be asked about it again this week, and rightfully so. because I want to hear. Okay, what did you mean?
Oh,
by
I
that?
Don't think there's any question. They're doing some. They'll do some research on what happened.
No doubt.
Yeah. Keep going.
So, but yeah, I mean, it just. But I go back to conversations you and I had. As much as, look, they had the number one running game in the NFL. I'm not going to sit here and say they couldn't run the football, but it just felt odd at different points over the year where, other than Lamar, I mean, you could count on Lamar running. And when Keaton Mitchell got going before the unfortunate knee injury in Jacksonville, they didn't get their running game.
They didn't have a feature back.
Going.
And
I
mean, told you
didn't.
On the trading deadline, if they had dealt for Derrick Henry, they would at least have a guy. You know, and maybe in this offseason, because of the depressed market, Josh Jacobs, Derrick, you know, a running back, a big truss, a Mark Ingram, a legitimate running back, somebody that's not a rookie who's fast or a fourth-year player who's just okay and fumbles, and Gus Edwards, who feels like he was never a great back. He was a fourth quarter back to pound you, but he was never the featured back. You knew he wasn't carrying the ball 21 times for 148 yards the way Earl Campbell did, you know? So I would just say this, and I'll go back to 19. And I, you know, man, I've written a couple of books on football, been doing this a long time, but I learn a lot. And you said something about stats. I remember Jim Schwartz, when he was the defensive assistant back in 96, 97, me, him, and Marvin would go over to Bertucci's at Owings Mills Mall and talk football with crayons. And they used to have the white paper there. And Marvin would draw players and crayons. Here's Bolware. Here's McCrary. He would do all of that with me. But Schwartz would always talk about statistics and say, a box score is worthless in football, because he was a big baseball box score guy. Jimmy still has his notebook from 1979 where he kept score in the same notebook for every Orioles game. He was a box score guy. And he said, box scores in football don't mean anything. Stats, you know, it's all game circumstance. It's all down and distance. Are we ahead? Are we behind? Who's playing? Mm-hmm. Who's in? What package? What's down and distance? And I would say this. This is what I've learned since 2019. It's what you learn after you know everything that really counts, Luke. But, yeah, I've written two books on football, watched them win championships. But right around Greg Roman, when it came in here, and that running game, and you and I did radio every day in 2019 after every one of those beatdowns, after I was drinking wine in the press box. They served beer and wine in the press box at the L.A. Coliseum in 2019. I had a glass of Cabernet Sauvignon overlooking the L.A. lights and looking up the scoreboard. It's 52-7 or whatever the hell it was. So that year, you and I would talk every day, and I said, I have never seen a team that's eating on second and one and second and two and second and three. They were rarely in second and three. Felt like they were at second and one and second and two. They were consistently getting 8, 9 yards every play running the football behind Yonda, behind a young Stanley, with Lamar razzle-dazzle in the phone booth. They had to worry about him. That whole big trust thing, and I've told you, and I know you and I have different vibes on Mark Ingram. You're in the locker room. I'm not anymore. So I will defer to your point of view on that. I feel like they miss Mark Ingram. I feel like they miss that guy who can run the football, a big boy, a grown-up, a guy that Lamar liked. Apparently the team liked him. I thought they liked him. They jettisoned him. He was older, whatever, expensive when he was here.
He wasn't good anymore. I mean, he wasn't good the second year.
Fair enough. Yeah. But that has never really been replaced. And when I talk about ground Roman and the effectiveness of what made them great in 2019, the thing that made them great was first down efficient. They didn't throw the ball well. I mean, you would say they threw the ball really well and they had all these, they didn't throw the ball the way other teams threw the ball. And
led the league
because
in
they
touchdown
didn't need
passes.
To.
Led the league in touchdown passes, but go ahead.
They were in second and two. I wonder how many of those happened
passes.
On second and two. Right. But they were guaranteed a first down every time they touched the ball because you could not stop them from going 10 yards in four plays. Like, if you give them four chances to run the ball, and this is where I sit this year. Now that they're eliminated, I'll say this out loud because I said it sort of flippantly to you every 3 or 4 weeks during the season. If they have to get a fourth and one, do you feel good about it or not? I've asked that question a couple of times, and that's a running game to me. A running game is We can get a yard when we need one. We can get two when we need it, and we can get six or seven on first down consistently to put you in a really bad second down situation, or just beat your ass and take 12 yards with Lamar off the edge, and we get a fresh set of sticks. And the fresh set of sticks, fresh set of sticks, fresh set of sticks, that's how Kansas City played the game. They went forward with every play in the first half. They went forward. Mahomes was 11 for 11 or whatever. I mean, they went forward with every play. And that was something that Billick, when he brought Scott Mitchell in here, talked about Barry Sanders. They went backwards a lot. You know, Barry Sanders could run backwards and put you in second and 16. You know what I mean? That's a sack, right? So moving around second down and where they are in second down, Roman's philosophy changed that when they had different personnel. Dude, they need a running back, not named Lamar. Their best running play can't be putting their quarterback at peril. And that should be an overwhelming thought for the offseason, that they need a better running back.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know if I agree with you that the veteran is the guy to go get. I think it could be a second or third round pick, quite frankly.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's a young man. That's a young man's position. I mean, I'll hear you on Derrick Henry, but those – Derrick Henry's the exception to the rule, right? I mean, Adrian Peterson was the exception in his era. But look, I'm not going to sit here and disagree with you on that, but I think what's so frustrating, what's so mystifying is that the Ravens quite simply just, they didn't really even try to run the ball against a bad run defense. I mean, Kansas City's strength was their pass defense, their secondary, their pass rush. They had been vulnerable. I mean, look at last week. Go look at how many yards the Bills ran for, and I get it. Okay, noted. I agree with you. James Cook's a better running back than anything the Ravens had healthy and upright on Sunday. From Gus Edwards and Justice Hill to Dalvin Cook, which, by the way, I forgot he even was active on Sunday. I mean, it just kind of shows you what the Ravens thought there and why
they had no plan to run the ball. Clearly, they
no plan to run with him specifically. I mean, And this is why I said at the time, it's like, okay, the standard is he's better than Melvin Gordon. They didn't have any interest in running Melvin Gordon all year. So
yeah, you didn't think Joe Flacco was ever going to put on a Browns helmet either, but look how that turned out. You know,
yeah. So. Well, I'm wrong all the time. Let's be clear about that. But no, I think you're right. And look, I think Keaton Mitchell can be part of the conversation, but he's coming back from a serious knee injury. Is he going to be available week one? Is he going to be available week eight? If he is available week eight, is he going to be the same effective guy? Because my goodness, look at the numbers. I mean, that kid was a home run hitter for them. You know, in hindsight, and I don't even know if it's hindsight, I think everyone recognized it at the time, that was an element that they were missing with their running game at the end of the season, where Justice Hill did an admirable job. And, you know, I mean, had a nice performance against Houston, for example, but they didn't have a home run hitter there anymore. You know, they lost J.K. Dobbins in week one, who was supposed to be the feature guy. And then they got Keaton Mitchell going, you know, close to halfway to, you know, week six, week seven, week eight is right around when he kind of busted out, arrived on the scene and was healthy and started playing. But, you know, they missed that. Now, does Keaton Mitchell make a difference on Sunday? Well, you have to hand him the football, right? And, I mean, the Ravens just, they didn't show much interest there. And you know, that's why I said the running game for me was just complicated over the course of the season. I get it. Statistically, it looked great. And so much of that is Lamar Jackson's the greatest rushing quarterback in NFL history. Yeah, better than Michael Vick, too, because the Falcons kept trying to take that away from him over the course of his career, whereas the Ravens have largely embraced it. But there were definitely some opportunities for them to run the football and try to get that going over the course of the game that they just didn't do it. And look, it's overly, to your point about Jim Schwartz, it is overly simplistic just to look at the box score, but there are, if you go by the play-by-play and look at times where they picked up a first or times where it would have made sense to run on first down, they didn't do it. And I mean, they just showed very little interest in doing it. And even Lamar, there were some times where the field was open for him to take off and he didn't do it. And it just felt like
why didn't he run to the sticks?
It felt like,
I mean, it was kind of crazy because that was his instinct, right? I mean, we thought like second half you're behind, he's just going to take off and run and get in the phone booth. And he started that. At one point he had a first down. It was like, all right, you know, he's going to risk life and limb here to get them to the end zone to get them back within 3 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was the thought that I had was, this is going to be a Lamar drive, and usually you can't stop that. You know, if I would say to you, can they get a fourth and one when they need to? Well, wait, does Lamar have the ball? If they do, then they can. That has always been their mindset. That was their mindset early in the game when they went on fourth down. Oh, by the way, Lamar had the ball. So I'm not just speaking into the wind here. I'm not losing my mind. They were eliminated. Their two feature running backs ran the ball combined six times, and their best running back, who happens to be their quarterback, was gun shy to run.
Yeah.
When the sticks were sitting there.
They're
going to go back and break that film down, and they're going to be, as I brought up, the Eminem song. And by the way, the poor Lions fans, can we just take a moment of silence for them? You know, the Eminem song, Lose Yourself. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you choke on the words, you know? Sometimes, you know, the vomit of mom's spaghetti's, you know, hanging off you. And it's going to hang off of them for 51 weeks until they get back to a championship game. And or if they get back to a championship game, because here comes Herbert with Harbaugh's brother. Burrow's going to be coming back, right? Aaron Rodgers is going to leave. Well, he's not going to get a vaccine, and he's not going to be the Jets quarterback. But there'll be something else. I mean, C.J. Stroud's going to have heat in the offseason, and Trevor Lawrence is going to get help, and blah, 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 blah. And the Ravens are going to be diminished in the offseason. I don't think we're going to sit here in September and talk about the roster being better than the roster was on Sunday.
Well, I mean, you can say that about every team, though. I mean, it's you're going to have roster attrition. You're going to have guys that get hurt. You're going to have guys that leave. But you also bring in guys, and you're going to draft guys. And the Ravens are really good at drafting football players. So,
And they're really good at finding Kyle Van Noy and Jadeveon Clowney,
But your point is well taken in the sense that it's not going to get any easier. And, oh, by the way, if you get back to the AFC Championship, guess what? The last 6 years will tell you what. Who are you going to be playing? The Kansas City Chiefs. And that's, again, what the most sobering part of this discussion is. But you said something, and I'm not going to belabor the point because we've talked about it, we've given this time. And I think Todd Monken probably be the first to tell you that we kind of misjudged what kind of football game this was going to be. I think the Ravens went into this game thinking it was going to be more of a shootout, which it looked that way through the first 20 minutes or so, but then it morphed into much more of a defensive struggle. And
if you want to shoot, you got to shoot.
They didn't adjust. Well, and that's and I guess that's the part of it that I don't want to let Lamar and the passing game in general, the passing operation in general, off the hook entirely, because you have the MVP at quarterback. Even if you should have run the ball more, it's really disheartening that you could only muster 10 points, right? I mean, it's really disheartening. Even if you didn't love the game plan, that's all you could manage, especially playing at home. So, but you made the point. You said they're two feature backs, Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. That's the problem right there. And look, how they're going to go about doing it, we'll have to see. I am vehemently against going out and paying a running back big money. I don't think, especially now with having a $260 million quarterback. And oh yeah, you have a Pro Bowl defensive tackle who's probably going to get the franchise tag the way it's looking. So I don't know if that's going to be in the cards, but yeah, they've got to spend some resources on a running back. And like I said, that could be a third round pick. I haven't looked at the draft yet. You know, I've been in season mode because the Ravens, we thought we're going to go to the Super Bowl.
You can take all the money we save from Las Vegas. You can go to Indianapolis if you really want to go to Indianapolis. You know, I mean,
oh, we could. Yeah, I was going to say.
Senior Bowl's nice now. The Senior Bowl's okay. I mean,
you
get good seafood down there. It's a little warmer. Don't beat up the Senior Bowl. If you get the Senior Bowl or the Combine, take the Senior Bowl.
I was going to say, I probably would if it wasn't such short notice.
But, there's Southern girls and Waffle Houses and grits and stuff. It's okay.
But yeah, I mean, just to finish the point, and like I said, I mean, it's so ironic because I think most people, whether you were a Greg Roman's biggest detractor or a Greg Roman supporter, I mean, I said this over and over, Greg Roman did a lot of good here, despite what the narrative is from 80% of the fan base. But it was time for a change. It was time for them. Their offense had gotten as far as they could with Greg Roman as their coordinator. And look, Todd Monken worked out great this year. This is not me saying Todd Monken should be fired or he stinks or anything like that. Far from it. But from a running game standpoint, it did feel complicated at times over the course of the year. And certainly, I mean, that came to a head on Sunday. And, you know, they didn't have a feature back. They didn't have that home run back in the absence of losing J.K. Dobbins in week one and then Keaton Mitchell in mid-December, you know, in that Jacksonville game. So That was part of it, but you know, it just Monken just he didn't have a feel at all on Sunday. I mean, just nothing they did got them in a rhythm, whether it was a play call, a breakdown in protection, Lamar not seeing the field right, not making a bad throw, penalties. I mean, they just, as man, that offense was humming down the stretch, even with the Keaton Mitchell injury. And they did not get going on Sunday. I mean, even look at their touchdown drive, which I take nothing away, but they needed to convert that fourth and one, to your point. My goodness, if they didn't get that and that game, they lose. We're talking about that play all offseason, but they got it. And then Lamar makes just an unbelievable play. I mean, he had Zay Flowers on the touchdown. He had Zay Flowers open underneath, where I said in real time, like, throw it to Zay, he's wide open. Almost gets sacked, gets away, and then throws a deep ball on the scramble drill to Zay Flowers. I mean, just an unbelievable football play. But there wasn't nearly enough of that. And there were times this year, and this is still, it's a feature, but it can also be a bug for them, where they're at their best still when they ask Lamar to go in the phone booth. And look, that's Patrick Mahomes went in the phone booth a few times over the course of Sunday's game, including the final pass, by the way, which was, you know, as great as the defense was in the second half, you know, they put the exclamation point on it right there. It was over. But it just, the structure of their offense was just, and whatever they were trying to accomplish was just lacking. And credit Steve Spagnuolo, credit a Kansas City defense that was underrated throughout the year. Let's give them the proper due. But boy, that was disappointing for the offense to perform the way that it did with the season on the line. And like I said, everyone, Todd Monken, Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers on down, they've got to own it, because they weren't nearly good enough on Sunday. And you know, they just, the biggest reason why they're going home, you can't fault the defense at the end of the day, giving up 17 points to Patrick Mahomes. Like I said previously, you tell me that before the game, I'm signing up for it in blood. And I'm telling you, the Ravens are going to the Super Bowl then.
And if the Chiefs aren't going to score in the second half on the road, you should feel like you should win the football game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, back to the drawing board, but boy, just a frustrating way for this season to come to an end. There's no doubt about it.
We will be discussing all this stuff all week long. We're doing the Crab Cake Row promotion next week. We'd love to have you come out. If you haven't seen me in a while or haven't said hello, bring something good for the Maryland Food Bank. I'll tell you what, I'll give you free cup of Super Bowl if you come out on Monday to Fadley's, Tuesday to Costas, Wednesday to Coco's, Thursday to State Fair, or Friday at Pappas. All of that information will be up at BaltimorePositive.com here this week. As we thought Luke was going to be heading to Las Vegas, a lot of folks thought they'd be heading to Las Vegas, thought we'd be hosting Purple Pep rallies in real time all next week. Instead, it's just another Super Bowl we're not involved in, watching from the outside with our noses pressed up to the glass. I'm going to have Maryland Lottery scratch-offs to give away all next week as we do live radio from 9 until 5. First time we've done live radio around here in a long time. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how I'm going to get to the bathroom. I'm just going to drink less fluids during the day next week. But we are going to go live. As I get older, doing live radio when you get older, you got to pee more. Tough. I mean, I'm telling you what, 32 years into doing this, I'm taking on something here. But it has certainly been a wild weekend for football. And 49ers and Chiefs, and I'm not out in Las Vegas watching it all happen in front of me. We're going to be watching it happen right here in Baltimore and promoting 100 different charities next week and having guests, celebrities, cool people for a great cause and to raise some awareness about hunger during a cold, cold week. A cup of Super Bowl. It's Crab Cake Row. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, Win Donation, and our friends at Jiffy Lube. Luke, we'll be out at Owings Mills. It's almost baseball season. Pitchers and catchers report in a couple of days. So Luke and I will have that to discuss as well. But we have plenty more football ahead. I have great, great guests coming up this week. Brian Billick's joining us. Todd Heap's coming on. A whole bunch of folks will be here. Dwan Edwards is coming on. I'm trying to think of who else. Anyway, lots of former Ravens. I had really believed that the team was going to Las Vegas. I haven't even canceled Luke's flight. I told Luke I'm not canceling it until Wednesday in case somebody puts a protest in and they play the game again. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.